Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Biweekly Geopolitical Report. Many stock markets in the Middle East are growing in market cap, and investors are paying attention. Confluence Associate Market Strategist Daniel Ortworth joins us today to take a closer look at one of the recent standouts, the United Arab Emirates, and to tackle the question, is it the right time to invest there? Daniel, you had some positive comments on the United Arab Emirates in your recent report on Middle Eastern stock markets. How has the country's location promoted and shaped its development?
Hi, Phil. A quick review of the map of the world reveals that the term Middle East for the region that now bears that name is very appropriate. Originally, it was one of three terms that European powers used to describe the world east of itself, the Near East, the Middle East, and the Far East. Today, the term Middle East has settled into usage for the mostly Islamic world stretching from Turkey and Egypt in the west to Iran in the east. The trends of global economic development over the last 1,000 years have put this part of the world right in the middle of the Eastern Hemisphere's leading economic centers, and many of the most important global trade routes pass right through it. Now, if we take a closer look at the region itself, we notice that the United Arab Emirates is in the middle of the Middle East and sits right along one of the busiest of those trade routes, a choke point called the Strait of Hormuz, where the Persian Gulf opens into the Indian Ocean. As you might expect, both European and Middle Eastern powers down through the centuries have striven for control of this key location and the land around it. This competition has shaped what is now the UAE into a crossroads and trading hub for the region and the world.
So it makes sense. It has a rich history in terms of trade, and that has allowed it to develop relationships over the years with many countries.
Yes, Phil, it has. In terms of its participation in the broader world, things began around the year 1500 when the expanding Portuguese Empire laid claim to the area, building ports and fortresses using the area as a transit point for its trade with South and East Asia. In the 1800s, through a series of treaties, it became a protectorate of the British Empire, who made similar use of the area. Both of these phases made it a key node in shipping networks spanning from Western Europe to East Asia. During its modern period of independence, which began in 1971, UAE leadership has capitalized on this legacy by further developing this role for itself, not only as a crossroads between regions, but within the Middle East as well, through initiatives such as its role as a co-founder of the Gulf Cooperation Council. It has cultivated constructive relationships with governments throughout the region and across rivalries among other regional players.
Daniel, is the United Arab Emirates a rich country in terms of resources?
With one key exception, the answer is no, and as you might have guessed, that one exception is petroleum. The land itself is almost entirely desert and forms a part of what is known as the Empty Quarter, the southeastern part of the Arabian Peninsula that is almost entirely devoid of water or animal and plant life. Before the discovery of oil in 1958, the area depended on its role in trading networks for most of its vitality. Since 1958, that has changed. The UAE has grown to become the world's 8th largest producer of oil and the 14th largest producer of natural gas. This makes petroleum the single largest contributor to the UAE's economy, but it does not mean that the country entirely depends on oil and gas. Together, they account for only about 27% of the UAE's economy. You could say that the UAE's cultivated connectivity with the region and the world is its greatest resource.
Are imports and exports both showing healthy growth?
More than that, Phil, they are really the most dynamic characteristics of the economy. Since the beginning of the century, the UAE's non-oil exports have grown nearly 20% annually, and imports have grown about 12% annually. Taken together, the value of the UAE's total merchandise trade, that's the combination of exported and imported goods, has risen from roughly 80% of its gross domestic product at the beginning of the century to 185% in 2023. That means the value of its trade is almost twice the value of its economy. For comparison, the similar figure for the United States is typically about 20%.
How about the makeup of its population? How would you describe it? Is it prosperous, educated, progressive?
The UAE has a very distinctive population profile, starting with the fact that only about 12% of the population is native Emirati. The other 88% are foreign residents, a combination of migrant workers who fill service jobs and provide the bulk of the labor force enabling the rapid development of the country's infrastructure, and expatriate business people who take advantage of the country's favorable regulations and tax structure to develop and run their often global businesses. Moreover, that expatriate population is both ethnically and religiously diverse. Most come from South Asia, think India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh, but there are also large cohorts from places such as Egypt and the Philippines. As you might expect, most of the population is Muslim, but there are also large Christian, Hindu, and Buddhist communities. Taken together, this makes for a relatively educated and progressive society, and it certainly is prosperous. The UAE has the second highest per capita GDP in the Middle East, behind only Qatar, which has only a third of the population.
Now, proponents of investing in the United Arab Emirates point to positives like economic stability, a business-friendly environment, a thriving real estate market. Do you agree?
Yes, Phil, I do. The government has focused on producing an environment that will attract and retain foreign business with a particular eye to diversifying beyond the petroleum industry. The UAE is continuously working with outside partners to address governance and regulatory issues in ways that make the country compatible with evolving global standards. Among the fruits of these efforts, it has become a leading financial and banking center. Its real estate sector has impressively grown. It continues to be a key regional transportation hub, and its manufacturing industry continues to grow in areas such as aluminum production. Businesses from around the region and around the world keep coming to the UAE to set up shop.
Daniel, would you describe the United Arab Emirates as politically stable?
I certainly would. It has actually proven itself to be one of the most stable countries in the region. This stems from an approach to government that balances societal participation with tight and unquestioned central control. The UAE is a constitutional federation with three branches of government, much like the United States. There is a president and a legislature that is partly elected by the citizens, and there is a court structure to adjudicate disputes. However, a closer review of the lines of authority within the government reveals that the leaders of the seven emirates, who are absolute monarchs, and the president, who is one of those monarchs, have virtually complete authority to control the governmental process. This means that while the population is gaining an incrementally increasing ability to voice itself and exercise civil rights, the government can clamp down at any time to keep things in line. We saw a clear example of this in 2011 during the Arab Spring revolts that rocked the region and brought down several governments. At the first hint of trouble during the Arab Spring, the UAE government imprisoned anyone considered a threat and established firm control on the streets. As a result, the Arab Spring essentially passed the UAE by.
Would you describe the United Arab Emirates as a friend to the United States?
We view the UAE as one of the best examples of a country that, as we say, straddles the fence. This means that it successfully cultivates constructive relations with countries across the spectrum of alignments and geopolitical blocs, whereas most countries, either by choice or imperative, align themselves closely with one or another side of a conflict, such as the long-standing rivalry between Saudi Arabia and Iran, or the emerging competition between the US and China. Fence straddlers find a way to work with both sides of a divide. The UAE does this quite well, and along the way it certainly has worked constructively with the US. As just a couple examples, the UAE contributed forces to the US-led campaign against ISIS last decade, and it has hosted US forces on its soil for 30-plus years as part of a defense cooperation agreement first signed in 1994.
Let's take a quick look at their financial markets. Do those markets within the United Arab Emirates have characteristics that allow them to stand out compared to others in the broader region?
We think so, Phil. As we highlighted in our recent report reviewing Middle Eastern stock markets, the UAE's combined stock markets have grown to become the third largest by market capitalization in the region. This size and the trend of growth have come as a result of the growth in the number of listed companies, the increasing span of represented industries, and the liquidity of the markets. This has happened because UAE markets have instituted rigorous standards for transparency and corporate governance, as well as advanced trading systems and adherence to international best practices.
Do U.S. markets offer convenient access to companies based in the UAE?
Unfortunately, Phil, they do not, at least not yet. Whereas the number of listed UAE companies has grown beyond 100, we are aware of only three that have ADRs on U.S. exchanges. At this point, if you want to invest in UAE companies, you have to do it in the UAE.
Well, stepping back for the would-be investor, what are reasons for caution?
Yeah, good question, Phil. After all, we are still talking about the Middle East, a land of many fragile fault lines and its own combination of enduring risks. Conflict and tension remain common themes. The ongoing conflicts on Israel's periphery, the tension between Israel and Iran, and the recent overthrow of the government in Syria provide recent examples of the potential for further strife. Geopolitical events such as these can have a wide variety of impacts on markets and asset prices. There is also the ever-present oil factor. The UAE has set a Middle Eastern standard for diversification away from petroleum, but it remains a bulwark of the country's economy and the government's cash flow. Last year was a period of surprising stability in the price of oil, despite numerous destabilizing geopolitical events, and this may have contributed to the performance of UAE stock markets. Only time will tell how long this trend of relative oil market stability will last. If volatility returns to the oil market, stock prices throughout the region, even in the relatively diversified UAE, could suffer. Finally, as we have been emphasizing, the trend of block formation between the U.S. and China is continuing. We mentioned that the UAE is one of the best fence straddlers, but the day may come when the country must make a choice, and this could impact it as an investment destination.
Well, would a resumption of Russian oil coming back on the market be a negative for the United Arab Emirates economy?
Phil, it's really hard to say. So many potential factors might impact the global oil market in the next year or two. For instance, increasing sanctions on both Iran from the Trump administration's maximum pressure campaign could conceivably offset any possible resumptions of Russian supply. And that's to cite just one example among myriad oil market variables. I will re-emphasize two emerging keys of the UAE story. First, oil is becoming less and less important to the overall UAE economy and its markets as it continues its industry diversification program. Second, its outreach to so many countries across the spectrum, even in the context of the bloc formation theme, provides it a measure of geopolitical diversification as well. With so many variables in the picture, I wouldn't focus too much on any one issue, such as Russian oil.
Daniel, I was curious. Broadly speaking, assets do appear to be flowing lately into foreign markets, suggesting a perception that some are undervalued. Is the strength of the dollar a reason for U.S. investors to approach with caution?
In the entire realm of finance and investments, I am not sure that there is anything so difficult to predict or anticipate as currency movements. Innumerable factors can potentially influence the course of the dollar, and we see evidence of this in the broad range of prevailing views in the financial community as the likely future course of the dollar in the new presidential administration. There are just too many variables and possibilities. When considering U.S. investments versus foreign alternatives, it is probably best to set aside currency concerns and evaluate the investment choices on their own merits.
Finally, does Confluence Investment Management have current exposure or is considering any exposure in its portfolios to the United Arab Emirates?
Not at this point, Phil, but we never limit our analysis to just those investments to which we have exposure or foreseeable plans ourselves. We do our best to monitor the entire investment landscape for opportunities or meaningful developments whose awareness or understanding might help our clients in any way. Of course, with an emerging story such as the UAE, there is always that possibility that Confluence will make a move into this area in the future.
Thank you, Daniel. This week's report is titled United Arab Emirates, an Overview, and you can find a link to the written report on the Confluence webpage, confluenceinvestment.com. Today's discussion is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. Opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice. Also, this information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our audio engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Adler.